You will understand why I'm unable to resist taking as my text this morning some words of St. Paul to the Corinthians. It's towards the end of chapter 9, I think it's in verse 25, where he says, every athlete goes into strict training. They do it to receive a perishable garland, but we an imperishable. It's an image that would have made a lot of sense to the Corinthians that he was writing to, because they were famous for their games. We always think of the Olympic Games in connection with the Greeks, but there were others as well, the Pythian Games at Delphi and the Isthmian Games just round the corner from Corinth. So that notion of the athletes going into training so that they might win the garland, it was different branches of trees in different places. I think they were crowned with olive at the Isthmian Games. A garland, of course, which would fade, but, says St. Paul, go into training for an imperishable garland. The analogy of Christian living with athletics is one that you can't press too hard. After all, the point in Christian living is that there isn't just one gold, one silver, and one bronze medal to be competed for. And that's not what Paul intends us to understand. But it is true that training plays a really important part. We see what an important part it plays in the Olympics. However naturally gifted an athlete is, you can't just turn up and swim 100 metres and expect to win if you haven't gone into serious training beforehand. And time after time, when they're interviewed after winning a medal, they talk about their the 4 years or however long it's been and all those early morning starts on the river rowing and how it's now all worthwhile. Whole cycle of training that's geared to peaking at a particular half hour on a particular day. And alas for poor Tom Daly, who peaked a day too early and it all goes wrong. Training's important. Christian training isn't geared towards a medal, and it's not geared towards a particular day. But the notion of needing to exercise, needing to train in the Christian life is a fundamentally important and very interesting one. And just want to develop the thought a little in relation to prayer. Because to pray, you do need to go into a certain amount of prayer training. It's absolutely hopeless sitting down and closing your eyes and thinking that you're immediately going to be able to pray. It's like thinking that you're going to be able to run 100 metres in, I don't know, 15 seconds, just straight off. You need preparation. You need some training. You need to start somewhere. And starting is simplicity itself. Because at the heart of prayer is not words, which you might expect, but silence. So you need to start by training yourself to be quiet. This is a remarkably difficult thing to do. But you start by trying to sit very quietly, somewhere comfortable, and be very quiet. You'll find it enormously difficult, because the minute you're quiet, all sorts of disconnected thoughts will start running through your head, ranging from what you're cooking for supper this evening, to what state the laundry is, to something at work, to a conversation you had with somebody else, to wondering how somebody else, it all goes round and round and round in your head. And you have to learn to still all the thoughts that run around. There are various exercises that you can do that are quite helpful, a bit like muscle stretches in athletic training. You can listen very carefully to all the sounds outside the room that you're in. And then you come indoors and you listen very carefully to all the sounds that are in the room, the gurgling of water in a water pipe or the humming of a fridge or something like that. And then you listen very, very carefully to the sounds that your own body is making. And coming inwards into stillness in that way is remarkably helpful at concentrating in silence. So silence to begin with, and silence needs practice. You'll try and be silent one day for a little bit, and it won't work terribly well, and you try again the next day, and it works a little bit better, and you try again the next day, and it works a little bit better, and then you can start trying to make the silences a little bit longer, and so bit by bit by bit, just like the athlete building up, you start to train yourself in a bit of silence. When you have finally achieved a bit of silence, and it comes and it goes, just like the athletic training, it's not a unilineal progression, and there are some days when it works better than others, some days when the silence muscles feel very, very fatigued, and others on which they seem to be working reasonably well. When you're finally able to get a bit of silence, when you're able to chuck out of your head all that endlessly running script, which so often has yourself at the center of it, when you're able to de-center from yourself in the silence, you try to align your compassion with God's compassion. That's the next thing to do. Think of people. Think of places. Think of situations. Think of them as God must see them. And try to align your compassion with God's compassion. And when you're able to achieve some silence and to be in the place of God's compassion in that silence, then some praying can begin. Not of your accord, actually, but of God's accord. Some communication will start up as you remember people lovingly before God. And then you can put some words in. And the best words to use are incredibly simple words. Lord, have mercy, or some variation upon it. When you pray for Syria, think of Syria, think of the boy, feel the compassion of God towards that child, and then you start to pray, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, imploring the goodness and the mercy and the love of God for this place. There are other prayers too. Quite obviously, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus himself has taught us. But the words will not be of any value until the silence has come and the compassion has taken root in the silence, and then the words may grow. And you do that day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year. And over time, just like the athlete, you lay on, you start to build up muscles of prayer. Now, the glorious thing about all of this training is that it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Doesn't matter what your body looks like or could possibly look like. Whatever your state of vigor or decrepitude makes no difference to this, because everybody is equally able to put on the muscles of prayer. And few of us, if any of us who come to this church, there may possibly be one or two, are ever going to look like one of those oarsmen or oarswomen who come romping home with their gold medal. But actually, interiorly, and by the grace of God working in us, we put in a bit of training, you can have a prayer body like Tom Davies, if you like, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.